Well, thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you today a message that the Lord's had on my heart for about 5 weeks now, and I think it's timely for this 4th of July weekend, and I hope you find it timely for you as a church and also for you individually. I'm going to be using a number of different verses today instead of one text. And so I put together a little PowerPoint to help you kind of follow along with me so you don't have to be flipping back and forth. But this morning I'm going to talk about the everlasting God's sovereign rule. In Psalm 103, verse 19, we're told, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven." And what do people do from thrones? They rule, and His kingdom rules over all. The Hebrew word, therefore, rules is mashal, and it carries the idea of the power and the authority that is necessary for someone to rule or reign. And so here it's referring to the Lord's enormous might and power as ruler. The Nelson Study Bible says this about this verse, and I just really, really like this. "The Lord is King of all and King forever. His rule is the only rule that matters." And I add my amen to that. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, the Apostle Paul said this about the Lord Jesus Christ at His appearing. "He who is the blessed and only potentate." Now, that's a word we don't hear much anymore. It is the Greek word dunastes, and it literally means sovereign ruler. That's what it literally means. So that's a good word for the English word for the Greek. And then he goes on to say, "the King of kings and the Lord of lords." And then in verse 16, he adds, "to whom be honor," and that's an important word. Come back to that probably later on. "To whom be honor and everlasting power." And this word is dunatai. It's similar to, it's a word group in the New Testament. It's very similar. And it, again, carries the idea of power and authority. In fact, we get our English word dynamite from this word. So it carries that power, the idea of power and authority again. So just in these two verses, and I could have added many, many more scriptures to this, we have established before us the undeniable truth that the Lord God, the everlasting God, is sovereign ruler. He always has been. He always will be. Nothing is going to change that. And what I'm going to do this morning is try to apply that in three ways. But first, I would like to ask you to join me in prayer. Lord God, as we approach this time of looking into Your Word, I realize how desperately we need the Holy Spirit to grant insight and understanding. I know, Lord, that my words are not important, and they will be forgotten very, very quickly. But when You speak to our hearts, we remember that. And so I pray, Lord, that in whatever way You so desire, that You will speak to each of our hearts today, beginning with me. And then, Lord, that You too will be also be honored and exalted and lifted up in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray this in the mighty and glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to apply this three ways. The sovereign ruler of the universe. Number one, the everlasting God is sovereign ruler over the nations. You find this not only all through the Word of God, all through the Old Testament especially, and in the New Testament, but you also find it in history. But here's what Psalm 113 verses 4 and 5 have to say. "The Lord is high above all nations," which means He cannot be limited in His authority. He's high above all the nations. "His glory above the heavens," which means even the vastness of the universe cannot contain His glory. And then the question is raised, who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? And the obvious answer is no one. He is the sovereign ruler of the nation. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 10 says, his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river, probably that means the Euphrates River, from the river to the ends of the earth. And I think that we need to remember today in this July 4th weekend that the Lord God, the everlasting God, almighty God, creator of all that exists, is sovereign ruler over every single nation, every people group, every so-called power, every ruler, every president, every prince, every emir, every prime minister, or whatever people might want to call their political leaders. He rules and reigns over the entire earth, every nation, every people, always has and always will. Ruler of the nations. The Apostle Paul added in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority. You see that? There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. You see, the reason why there is any such thing as an earthly authority is because that authority comes from the supreme authority, who is Almighty God. If it wasn't for Him, there would be no such thing as earthly authority. So He grants it because He is the ultimate ruling authority over the nations, and that includes the United States of America. True history will point out something. It will point out, if you go back and study, especially American history, and I'm a history buff, I love history, you go back and study true history, not the redacted stuff that is being taught today, but go back and study true history, I think you'll come away knowing in your heart that the Lord God raised up 249 years ago the United States of America for His sovereign purposes. And my, what He's done over the years in and through this wonderful country. I'm so grateful, so very, very grateful for the privilege to have been born and to grow up and to live my life in the greatest nation, I believe, that has ever existed on planet Earth. And that's going back, looking at all the great powers all the way back to the beginning. But the United States of America has been a very unique country and a very unique gift of God to the world, I believe, over these last nearly 250 years. And I just hope with all of my heart that God will continue into the future to bless America and work through America and touch the world through America. But I want to admit to you today that I have a more personal view and a more personal hope. And that's because after having given up all hope of ever having a grandchild, 6 years ago, Nico Silas was born. And into my old age, I've told people that Deb and I are the Abraham and Sarah of grandchildren. So here we are, old people now. And last week on Wednesday, I took him swimming and just about did me in. Didn't do him in, you know, because he's endless energy right now. And so my goal over the last 6 years has been to do my very best to spoil him rotten to the core. And then take him back in the evening, give him to his dad and say, straighten this kid out. So that's my goal, has been my goal over the last 6 years. And you know what? I hope so much that he will be able to grow up in a country so blessed as I've been able to grow up in. And have the opportunities that I have had through my life. I just hope so very much that God will keep His hand on America. But I understand this, the future of America resides in the hand of the sovereign ruler of the nations. And so I've been praying for 35 years now. It started in 1990 when I started meeting with Pastor Walter Davidson on Monday mornings, and we would get on our knees in his office and we would pray, "Oh God, send a great revival. Send a great moving of your Holy Spirit across this land. Turn our hearts back to you." And over these years, well, I haven't seen that yet, and it seems to even be getting worse as the years go by, but I'm going to keep praying that prayer. I'm going to keep asking for God to send a great move of His Holy Spirit, because He is sovereign ruler over America, and He is sovereign ruler over the nation. And whatever happens, nothing will surprise Him, because He's in charge. So He is the sovereign ruler of the nations, all of the nations, and all of the rulers. Whether He has acknowledged that or not makes no difference. People can throw it back in His face and deny it, but it doesn't change the fact that He rules anyway. And He always will. Second, the everlasting God is sovereign ruler over His church. Now, I'm sorry, but this message is going to start to get a little dicey. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. I know you know this verse. "For the husband is head of the wife, as also," listen to this, "as also Christ is head of the church." Not one of the heads, it doesn't say that. Not one of many heads. He is head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Paul then said in Ephesians 1:22, "And He puts all things," not some things, not most things, "He puts all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body." Don't ever forget that. We're not just an entity. We're not just an organization. We are the body of Christ. Don't ever forget that. We're different from any other group of people in the world. The body of Christ. "And He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Now, I'm going to say three things about this, and I'll start by getting on what I've been for most of my adult life. Number one, pastors are not rulers over the church. Pastors are not CEOs and COOs who rule the church. Pastors are servants given to the church because the Lord loves His people. The Lord loves His church, and He has given to the church pastors to be under shepherds and care for them. They are not to rule the church. Now, I'm going to stop here because I could say so much more. I could get on a rant. About 2.5 years ago, I preached a series of 5 messages at Indian Springs, where Deb and I have been the last 11 years. 5 messages, 5 Sundays in a row on who pastors are and what pastors do according to the Word of God. So believe me when I say I could go on and on and on, but for your sake, I'm just going to stop right there. Pastors do not rule the church. Pastors are servants given to the church, under shepherds, under the great shepherd, in order to care for the people of God. And I spent most of my adult life serving the Lord by serving His people. Well, I have to say then, secondly, deacons do not rule the church. Now, I want to make it very clear, I love deacons. I've ordained so many of them over the years. Some of my very best friends and support pillars have been deacons and their family members. I love deacons. About 15 months ago, we had an outreach at Indian Springs, and I went out with a deacon in the church, and we went to a government housing area, and we spent a couple of hours knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus and praying over people. And it was interesting that even people who wouldn't let us share the gospel, when we would say, is there something that we can pray for you about? They would say, oh, yes, please pray for this. And so I had a great time with Brother Charlie, just out there knocking on doors and talking to people who desperately need the Lord in their lives. And I told Charlie, I really need to do that more often because it reminded me of what the real world is like out there. I mean, there's some really messed up people and struggling in a lot of different ways. So I love deacons. When I retired from Euclid Avenue, the deacons gave me the title Pastor Emeritus. And I've got that document on the wall over my desk. And this past week I was looking at it, and Brother Marvin, I saw your signature there on that document. So I've had a great relationship with deacons, and I love deacons. They're special people. It is a God-ordained office. I love them, but they do not rule the church. They come alongside pastors with pastors to minister to the body of Christ. And when they do that, they are a great, great blessing. Great, great blessing to the church. But so far, I've only hit pastors and deacons, so I've got to hit the rest of you too. The congregation doesn't rule the church. You know, sometimes people will say, well, we practice congregational church government, and that means we run the church by our votes. Oh, really? Do you really think a human vote is going to overrule the authority of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus, who is the head? Of course not. Of course that's not the case. As church members, we are to honor the head and seek to know his will and to do his will. That's what we're supposed to be about as a congregation. Now, listen to me, please. When the head is honored and the body is seeking to follow the Lord, he will bless and do wonderful things. But when that is not the case, all kinds of bad things can happen. I pastored 5 churches. One of them, I was an interim for 18 months, while it was a 3-year period when I was teaching for Wayland Baptist University. And so I was interim pastor during that time also. But I pastored 5 churches, and here's what's true about 5 churches. Deb will attest to this. All 5 churches, they had either fired or forced terminated the previous pastor, the one I followed. All 5. That can't be a fluke. That had to be the plan of God. It's a good thing I didn't know that when I was young. 5 times I went into a church that was in a mess. 5 times in a row. Division, hurt feelings, people not getting along well, fellowship problems, people having left the church, attendance down, giving down, all kinds of stuff going on. When I went to First Baptist Bluff City, that church was literally, if we could divide this down, it was split right down the middle on the former pastor. The older folks in the church didn't like him at all. The younger families loved him. So the younger families were mad at the older families for what they said running him off. The older folks were mad at the young people for how could you possibly love that guy and support him. And it was a mess. Deb and I walked right into the middle of that. And if I spent too much time hanging around with the older families, the younger families got mad at me. And if I spent too much time hanging around the younger families, the older families got mad at me. I tell you, it was a mess. My last church was Euclid Avenue, right here in Bristol. And 3 years before we went there, they had gone through their second major split in 20 years. And the pastor had left angry. A group of people left and went with him. And they started a church here in Bristol. And we walked right into that situation. And my first Sunday there, it was me, a secretary, and the custodian. And that's where we began. And it was, I actually believed I wouldn't last the first year. I'm more shocked than anybody on earth that I lasted 13 years there. But here's what I want to tell you also, though. In those churches, I saw God do a great work. And I'll tell you why. Because once we could get our eyes on Jesus, and thank you for praying that, whoever prayed. Once we got our eyes on Jesus and decided we're going to honor the Lord Jesus. This isn't about us, it's about Him. And we're going to exalt Him and lift Him up. We're going to honor the Lord Jesus. We're going to seek to know His will. We're going to follow His will, not our desires, not our will, but we're going to follow Him. And once we could get that nailed down, then the Lord would begin blessing. And he did a great work at Euclid Avenue over those years. I didn't. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not capable of doing a great work. But the Lord is. And He did a great, great work there over the years. But the key is, let the head be the head. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He gives us a lot of liberty as a church body on how we serve Him and how we do ministry and how we worship. He gives us a lot of liberty in that area. But the key is exalting Him, honoring Him, and following His leadership. And then He will bless. And when He blesses, oh, then it's really, really sweet. Well, the Lord is sovereign ruler. He is the everlasting God. He is a sovereign ruler over all of the nations. He's the sovereign ruler over His church, and He takes that very seriously. Just think of it like this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who shed His blood and gave His life. He earned the right to be head of the church. He earned that right. I didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. He earned it. And so the triune Godhead has placed the Lord Jesus Christ as head of the church. Critical, critical emphasis. And then finally, I might as well just go all the way with Dicey. The everlasting God is sovereign ruler over our lives. He's sovereign ruler over the nations. Over every political leader. He's sovereign ruler over His church, His body, and He's sovereign ruler over our lives. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter said in the midst of his powerful Pentecost sermon, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified." And back up, I love the wording here. He didn't say, let all the house of Israel know that God has made. He said, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly. Nail this down. That God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Yes, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Yes, Jesus is Savior, and He's a glorious Savior. Man, if he'd save a wretch like me, yes, He's a glorious Savior. But He's also Lord. And that little word, kurios, I know you've heard that over the years. That little Greek word, kurios, is found more than 700 times in the Greek New Testament. And that's not by accident. That's intentional. Jesus Christ is Lord. And guess what? A day is coming. It may be nearer than some of us realize. But a day is coming when we're told every knee will bow And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But we have the opportunity to volitionally bow our knee and exalt Him as Lord of our lives. We have that opportunity now. I have this very simple concept of my relationship to the Lord. I have to get things narrowed down where they're simple for me to grab a hold of. And here it is. The Lord is my boss, and I'm His bondslave. And I can remember that. By the way, the Apostle Paul referred to himself in many of his letters as a bondslave of Christ. And a lot of the translations will translate that word doulos as servant, because that's a little bit more palatable. But the word literally means bondslave. See, the Lord's my boss. I go where He tells me to go. I do what He tells me to do. I try to be obedient to preach what He puts on my heart to preach. He's the boss. My job is to obey Him. And I look back to Him then and say, Lord, here's what I think Your responsibility is. Ha ha. This is what I think Your responsibility is, to take care of me. And guess what? The Lord's done a far better job of taking care of me than I have in obeying Him. But I had to learn this lesson early on. Next month, I will have my 58th salvation birthday. I was saved almost 58 years ago. I was stationed at Elmendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage, Alaska. That's when I fell in love with Alaska. Not everybody who goes to Alaska falls in love with it, but I did. But while I was there, the Lord began working over a period of about 8 to 9 months in my life. Now, I didn't know that, but I can look back now and see how clearly He was working in my life. And it all culminated in the pastor's office of the Muldoon Road Baptist Church on a Wednesday night in August 1967, when the pastor asked me, Bob, have you been saved? And my answer was, sir, I don't have any earthly idea what you're talking about. And so he had to explain to me very carefully what he was talking about. And so I knelt then beside his desk and asked Jesus to come into my heart and life and save me. And during that time, I had a real issue with alcohol, and I asked the Lord to just take me and use me for His glory. I shouldn't have prayed that. That night I didn't have a Bible. Didn't have one of these things. I don't ever remember opening a Bible up in my entire life until after that Wednesday night. I figured, well, I guess I better buy one of those things and find out what's in it. And so the following Saturday I went to a bookstore in downtown Anchorage and bought my first Bible, a Thompson Chain Reference King James Bible. I had no idea who Thompson was. I had no idea what a chain reference was. I didn't even know what King James Version meant. I'll be honest with you. I bought it because it had a really pretty blue cover. Yeah, I know the spiritual depth astounds you. I know. But in the next 3 weeks, I read the entire New Testament. I just did a blitzkrieg from Matthew through Revelation. And at the end of those three weeks, I was in a crisis. I can't explain to you how, but I knew in my spirit, I knew in my heart, I knew in my soul, I knew in my mind that God wanted me to spend the rest of my life preaching what I just finished spending 3 weeks reading. I hadn't even gotten into the Old Testament yet. And that was a crisis for me, because I never, ever, ever dreamed the first 21 years of my life that I would spend my life as a Baptist preacher and pastor. Never dreamed that would happen. I was going to get out of the Air Force, go to college, get a degree in finance, and make some money. Boy, that fell through. I have no family pedigree. Lots and lots of pastors. Their dads are pastors, their uncles, their grandparents, their brothers who are pastors, cousins who are pastors. I have none of that in my family. When my family found out that I was going to go to college and study to become a Baptist preacher, they went into shock. My dear mother said, "My Bobby is going to be a preacher?" So I had to make a decision quick. Is Jesus going to be Lord? Or am I going to be my own Lord? Am I going to do what the Lord wants me to do? Or am I going to do what I want to do? And guess what? You have to make that same choice. You have to make it for yourself. You have the opportunity to bow your knee and to say, "Yes, Lord." You know you can't say no, Lord. You can say no, but you can't say no, Lord. But you can say yes, Lord. And you know, the only way you can do that and really mean it is if you put your total trust and obedience in Him. And you have to do the older I get, the more I'm coming to understand how important it is we learn how to trust the Lord, how critical that is. Three or four weeks ago, I preached for a friend, his church up in Abingdon, and I preached on that very subject about learning to trust God. Not just, it's easy to trust Him in the good times, but the bad times, the hard times. Now, I've dealt with cancer twice. You have to, sometimes life doesn't throw you just, you know, nice straight fastballs. Sometimes it throws you curveballs. And you have to learn how to trust Him. And what's that? What is that old hymn, Brother Joe? We don't sing some of those old hymns much anymore. I really appreciate you leading us to sing that old hymn today. But what is that old song that says on the chorus, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus," right? "Than to trust and obey." We have to let Him be Lord. Trust Him and obey Him. There's another old song that goes along with this that I've wondered as a pastor when I would offer the invitation and we would sing that as an invitational, and I wonder how many liars there are out there this morning. I would think that sometimes. "Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go." Will you? "I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go." You can't sing that unless He is Lord of your life. You can't sing that if you've not surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ. Yes, the everlasting God is sovereign ruler over the nations. He manipulates nations and rulers. I've just started reading Esther again. Perfect book to read if you just want to see the Lord God moving and working in people's lives to accomplish His purpose. He is sovereign ruler over the nations. He is sovereign ruler over His church. Jesus is head, And he always will be. And if we want the Lord to pour out blessings on us and do a mighty work, we have to honor him as the head and seek to follow his leading. And then he is also sovereign ruler over your life and over my life. Because he has a plan for you. And he wants to work that plan out and accomplish it. And you have to make the choice. Are you going to bow your knee and say, yes, you are Lord of my life. Lead me however you want. Do whatever you want. I'll seek to obey you and trust you. Then watch, because the Lord will start to work. He'll work in your life. He'll work in your church. He'll work in your business. I mean, he'll do that everywhere. Just keep your eyes open, because he will work. He is sovereign ruler of all. Now, I'm going to pray here in a moment, and then Brother Joey's going to come and offer an invitation. I'm going to sing a song. I still believe it is an invitation. I still believe that the invitation is the climax of a worship service. Hardly anybody believes that anymore, but I still believe that. And I understand that most of what needs to be settled, you can settle it right there in the seat where you stand or where you sit. But sometimes it's necessary to make a commitment public. And so we're going to sing, and I trust somehow, the Lord has touched your heart. In some small way, he's moved in your life. You'll remember that. You won't remember this sermon. By the time you get to your car doors, you'll have forgotten most of this sermon. But you won't forget what the Lord has spoken to your heart. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And Brother Joey will be here. I'm going to be over here at the side. And you just listen to the Lord and be obedient and trust the Lord. Father, I want to thank you again that in your goodness and grace and mercy, you have allowed me the privilege, even in my old age, to still be able to preach your word. And I so appreciate, Lord God, that you give me these opportunities. I know there's absolutely nothing special about me, but it's just a privilege and an honor that you've given me. And I trust, Lord, you've honored yourself, Jesus, that you've been exalted. Lord, that we have come to understand that you are sovereign ruler. Whether we acknowledge that or not, whether we spurn it or not, you are sovereign ruler over the nations and your church and our lives. And so as we sing this song, should you speak further into our hearts, help us even as we're singing to sense the leading of your Holy Spirit. I ask this in your precious and wonderful name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing?
God may be calling you this morning to seek his will, to obey to his calling, maybe you need special prayer, maybe you've got some folks in your life that you need to pray for. As a brother said, maybe you need to come and begin the process of submitting to him this morning. This altar is open. Sing with me. I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Brother Kent has come today to submit himself to the ministry of God's Word. I was reminded of Isaiah chapter 6. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, 'Who should I send? Who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'I said, here I am. Send me. Send me.'" I am more than proud to stand beside this brother and to offer his call to ministry. If you're on campus for any amount of time, you're going to see exactly what the brother preached about this morning. Service. Service. And that's one word that comes to mind when I think of Kent Peters and his family, is service. And so I would like him to say a few words, and then I'd like our deacons to come. Like our deacons to come, and we pray over him. And then I'm going to ask the church to vote and accept him as his call to ministry.
I'm glad I'm really rehearsed. I've ran from this for years. I've known about this, you know. I love Jesus, of course, his church, and you all. I really don't deserve to stand here, much less be considered. I just assume God knows what he's doing. And sometime unlikely candidates are chosen for such times as these. And it's an honor just to be considered. And most of all, I want to thank Jesus. And that's the only reason I'm here today. I love you all. Thank you.
Miss Peggy, if you could get a little note together here. I'm going to call the church to order for just a moment. And if we accept the brother as a minister here to minister the gospel, and to license him to minister the gospel, can I get a motion to do that? Okay. Brother Benny James has made the motion. Can I get a second to that motion? Jonathan Dixon has seconded the motion. All in favor? Opposed? There is none. Welcome. Welcome to the ministry, brother. If I could have our deacons come. What we just saw was exactly what Brother was preaching about, somebody that has come and has submitted himself under God's obedience. Perhaps you are still struggling with the call. Maybe it's not into preaching ministry, but maybe it's into another type of ministry. I humbly, as I know how, encourage you to seek that calling and to submit to His will. Are all minds and hearts clear? Oh, Miss. Sorry, I got excited. Sorry. Miss Brenda's going to have surgery Thursday. And hopefully once and for all, we get this back stuff taken care of. And so we all join us and point your hands toward this way as we pray for Miss Brenda. Are all minds and hearts and consciences clear? If so, God bless you, Lord. I ask that you keep us safe, you be with us, bring us back tonight at your next appointed time to worship. In your holy name we pray.